Hello and welcome everybody to another episode of the Mental Toughness and Body Show. On this show, we are going today talk about mental toughness. We're going to talk about the success principles that can be applied across multiple diverse businesses. It's kind of like a secret sauce. Now, guest today is going to blow you away. He's highly accomplished. He's a serial entrepreneur with extensive experience across multiple geographic areas, but also multiple sectors. So his ventures span agriculture, agri commodities, property investments, development, stock, derivatives, automotives, coffee. The list, private capital, equity, and so forth. The list goes on. Now, obviously, on this podcast, we have interviewed people from all walks of life, from our A-list celebrities to Olympic gold medalists and billion-dollar empire builders as well. And today, we have, here we go with the pronunciation, Zsolt Nudge. How did I go?
Pretty good. Pretty close.
Pretty good. Thanks for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
So to start off with, I guess if you could maybe tell us a little bit about your background, because all those things that I just mentioned there are, they're not necessarily all interconnected either. They're very different. So I suppose my first question is, how did you get into your first industry, and then why so many different ones?
Okay, that's a very good question. So me coming from a post-communist country, Slovakia, over there was no private investing or private companies before 1989. So only after that, we started to basically get into different businesses, although my dad was already the president of the local agriculture corp. And he got to be the president after 6 months he finished his university. And after 89, you know, they started to expand into various other businesses like meat factory. Obviously, we kept the agriculture and we started to buy up the shares, which is now over 10 companies and 8 to 9,000 hectares of land what we're working on.
Wow.
But then started to branch out to be meat factory, bakery, construction company, import export, and so forth. And okay. me being a successful person's son, there's always your inner being and your inner calling when it told me, you know, you I want to make it on my own.
Yes.
So, and it started with my journey actually first when I went to Australia and started to study English. I was working next to it. And then I went to study to Canada. Then after I finished my university degree in Slovakia, again, there was a choice to go somewhere and again choose Australia. And over there, I wanted to make it basically that first when I went there, I didn't speak the language, didn't know anybody. So really started fresh with nothing. And I wanted to make it on my own. So a lot of sleepless nights, you know, I was studying in the university, working at a factory, then knocking on the doors. So I've done all the jobs, you name it. And beside that, we opened up our student agency, and we've been basically sending students from initially Slovakia, but then Hungary and Czech Republic to Australia to study, but then all over the world. So that was my first little business. But even before that, even when I was at the high school, I had a friend of mine who used to work at the local pawn shop and used to buy some stuff of him, sold it for more, so buy and sell, buy and sell. And just to answer your question, how we got to so many businesses, I always wanted to be the one who stands on more legs and looked up to people who had multiple businesses, you know, and could manage them all and then different industries. But with our current setup, you know, one thing led to another.
Yes.
Because I spent about 20 years in Australia. Over there, we built our student accommodation business, which started off us bringing the students into Australia and being not happy with their accommodation. And we thought, okay, let's just put up a couple of apartments, you know, so we got some extra income, you know, the clients will be happy. It's a win-win, which turned out to be that we turned it into the largest legal shared accommodation provider in Sydney, Australia, before COVID. But obviously COVID took the better of us. But now the company is back and stronger than ever before. So it's a very good market for us. And speaking of serial entrepreneurship, I tried so many things, from network marketing. I've done some property deals. You know, I had a daily deal business, like Groupon as well. And some of them failed, some of them made money off. You know, I had the success and I had the failure as well. But I always had this drive, you know, that I want to make it. In a lot of sleepless nights, when you had more money to pay out than money coming in, so I spend the nights over the spreadsheet figuring it out, basically, that okay, how I'm going to manage this, and I always find a way. So, and I think those struggles and failures are the most important lessons in my life. And I went to a lot of seminars. I became a seminar junkie, and I was networking. I was learning from other successful people, meeting with them, taking them for lunches and so forth, you know, so, and the drive continued. And then with our current businesses, you know, as I said, one thing led to another. The opportunity came around. A friend of mine approached me if I would be interested to open up, actually, initially, to buy up one of the local Toyota dealerships. And I said, well, yeah, we've got some Toyotas, and I love the cars, and they're very reliable. So that one of the brands which I would be interested. So, and then opportunity came along where actually we had an opportunity to apply, basically, to get a license for a brand new dealership. So, cut the long story short, we won the tender, and now we operate in all one of the largest, size-wise, largest Toyota / Lexus dealerships in Czech and Slovak Republic. And then we had one of our investments in the building, what we bought, and they there was a casino in it. And because they've been paying, not paying rent, you know, I pretty much kicked them out. And me coming from Australia, home that time, you know, and you're really spoiled with coffees in Australia, because they everywhere you get a bloody good coffee, if you could say that. And I wasn't a coffee drinker. My now wife was. She made me one. And I was really tough to get a proper coffee in Slovakia. And I said, okay, let's open up a coffee shop so at least we can get a proper coffee. And then I found this franchise in Hungary, which is a very unique concept. You know, we got right now 76 type of hot coffee drinks, plus cold coffees, hot chocolate, you know, and so forth. It's a very unique concept.
Yeah, wow.
So I contacted them, and I wanted one coffee shop, and I ended up with a whole master franchise for Slovakia, and an opportunity to expand to Czech Republic and even to other countries. Then, moving into construction, I just finished the meeting with my partners in one of the construction business, where they approached me when they started off on their own, that, you know, they've got more projects that they can handle if I could become a partner. And that's how I became a silent partner in that construction business. Then next door to one of our facilities, there was this other construction business, which let's say they got into a little bit of trouble. Some of the orders haven't been paid. They had some issue with some of the other companies who they dealt with, and basically acquired them. So that's why we own two small construction companies. And having construction companies, doing some land banking, that led us to some property developments.
Yeah, wow.
And apart from that, with the group, what you've also involved in with JT Fox and with others, we do some private equity. So that's us throwing deals on the table, and whoever wants to invest can invest. Or you bring a deal to the table. So it's a very, very open network with very driven individuals, and who are experts in their field. So we meet every week, basically, and decide, you know, what we will be investing in.
Yeah, brilliant.
Sometimes I need to think what all the businesses we've got. So
yeah, there's a lot to unpack in there. So I guess my first question would be, because somebody might be listening to this and they say, oh, okay, I've got to just go out and start running a whole bunch of different businesses, but I probably...
No.
I would say that we probably all know somebody that has, say, gone from I see this with people in network marketing, for instance. They go from one network marketing place to another, to another, to another, basically the same thing. Or something fails, they move on to the next thing. That fails, they move on to the next thing, et cetera, et cetera. I'm assuming with you, because of how successful you've been and you've learned from your failures, I suppose the first question, when did you know that you were successful in, and which business was it that you thought, yeah, I'm successful, I can now apply this model across another business?
Yeah, very great question, Rob. And I've got a perfect answer for that, because I've done the merry-go-round where I started one business, you know, and then I started another one, and the third one, and the fourth one, and then nothing was working because I started them, you know, very short time between each other. And that's a perfect example of what my earlier mentor used to tell me. It's like when you got the jonglers and the clowns in the circus, you know, and they start to juggle the plates. They put up one plate at a time. So put up one plate and it's properly spinning. It's your business.
Yes.
When your business is properly set up and can run without you,
that's
when you can set up another business. Because if you put up the plates, you know, at the same time, you know, they will fall apart, you know, fell down and break. So that's with the businesses. And I had that experience when I was jumping from business to a business because, oh, now I got to do this business. Ah, but now the property is good. Ah, but now the stock market is good. Ah, and this network marketing business. Yeah. And now we can start this online business. So I've done this like two times in a circle until I figure out and say, focus, pick one thing, do it right. When that is going, you know, and you can leave it, then you can move to the next one. And that happened to me in Australia when I started to focus really on the accommodation business, and it started exponentially grow. And it's where the first time I really felt that now this is successful, you know.
So like an Airbnb type?
It's more like we rent or purchase, but pretty much me renting apartments, houses, and we furnish them. And we sublet them by bed, which means it's mainly for students, working travelers, but we also sublet hall apartments, and we did have our Airbnb division, but during COVID, we closed that down and we haven't opened it up yet again.
Yeah, nice. Okay. So one of the things that I like in the study of successful people, like a lot of things in life come down to moments, right? You can remember certain moments where you made decisions, etc. What was the moment for you when you're like, yeah, whether you consider yourself successful, I don't know whether you language that to yourself, yes, I'm a success, so I can now open this other business. But what was that moment where you knew with that first business that, yeah, this works, I can do something else?
Always you do the self-talk, for sure. You know, so you go into the mirror and wink, I'm sexy, I'm successful, and you say all those things and the affirmations. And I learned that from my early mentor, to be honest, when I went to do one of his programs, and there was initial couple of days, it was self-development, and then business, property, stock market. And I said, listen, can we just skip this first couple of days? I don't think I need any, you know, self-development. I'm pretty motivated. I know what I want. You know, I just need the business stuff. And I said, look, it's a whole package. You need to do it all. And you will see it at the end, you know, that one leads to another. And then I really learned and I agreed that this is the most important part, that you mentally set up the way that you truly believe that with the know-how and what the business side, they're going to give you the know-how that you can actually succeed. Because I was pretty motivated, but many people I've seen, you know, and I say that I've seen that the losers went into the room and the winners came out, you know, because they really changed their thinking. It's like when you delete the hard disk and you reinstall all the programs again. So, and to me, those mental toughnesses led to when I started to even more believe in myself and in the projects and in the businesses. And I said, there's nothing I can't do if I really set my mind to. So, and that was really, you know, the breaking point for me to be so sure that, you know, that I can succeed, you know, in whatever I want to.
And where do you think that hunger comes from? like mental toughness, I think anyone that I've spoken to that's had a high degree of success, they've just got this mental toughness. I mean, I know where mine came from, but what was it from you? Because you could say, well, coming from a successful family, you could in some ways, you know, kick back, just do whatever exactly. The family business is, et cetera. But you made a purposeful decision to move countries, to make it on your own. So where do you think that comes from? Are you proving something to yourself, to your family? Where does it come from?
Yeah, exactly. Just like you said, it initially is, you know, you always wanna have proud parents that, oh, you know, your dad, your mom, your family is proud of you. So that was one thing. Second, as I said, I wanted to prove it to myself, to make it on my own. Okay. Yeah. So now people look at me, okay, he's not just a trust fund baby. He really made it on his own. So yeah. They see, you know, see me differently. And then probably fulfill your own ego that comes with it as well. And I also say that, you know, when you can see and deliver something for the people, you know, when they enjoy it, be it, you know, the agriculture products or a experience in our coffee shop or a different experience coming to our dealership, you know, say, we build this, we've done this. And when you get the positive feedback that, gosh, you are so great, you know, that makes me tick, and that makes me build other businesses which are successful and people love to come and love to be there.
Yeah, that's so awesome. Do you know what? Interestingly for me, this was a bit of a self-discovery journey for me. Like, I was bullied as a kid, like physically, you know, like bullied. So I was a shorter kid, smallest kid in the school. So I was just an easy target. And for years I was bullied, but then I didn't realize for years that the biggest bully in my life was myself, and the language that I'd use to myself about how I was never going to amount to anything. And, you know, I wasn't smart enough. I wasn't all of these different things. And I said, what are you doing? And then when I made that change and just said, you know what, I'm just going to prove what I can do to myself. And I've done more than, you know, pretty much any of the rest of my family has done. But it that doesn't matter. It's about what I can show myself, which is why I love this show, because it's really interesting to talk to people about what drives them. I was sitting next to a guy just recently, actually. He said, you're really hungry, aren't you? And I looked at my watch and thought, well, it was about 5:30. I said, yeah, I am feeling a bit hungry. He said, no. He said, you're just really hungry. And I said, oh, yeah. He said, where does that come from? And I said, well, I think it comes from just proving to myself what I'm really capable of achieving. So I love to hear that story of yours. It's great. Now, this next question is probably a little bit like asking an A-list celebrity that's done 50 movies, which is your favorite movie, and they're all sort of babies. So a two-pronged question. Is there a particular type of business that you've got your you know, in your list of things that you do that's a favorite, or do you just love creating successful businesses?
I love creating successful businesses. I wouldn't say there's a favorite. I'm proud of all of them. So obviously, because we grew up in agriculture, you know, that's kind of in your heart. Yeah. You know, so I feel close to it, although I'm more like the manager, the investor, the deal maker, than the agriculture person itself. Then obviously Australia is my baby, as we build it from zero, you know, so from the little money with my wife, we furnished the first apartment together. Even she was carrying me with the beds and everything up to the second floor, you know, yeah. in Lumalu. So that's my baby, which really I came up with the idea and started to do it and build it up. Yeah. But also I'm proud of the coffee shop, you know, that wherever we are, we one of the best, because the experience the people are getting, although it's a franchise, but we still had to put our soul into it. I'm proud also of our car dealership, and people not even knowing that I'm owner of the business, and they come to buy a car and meet them. Hey, what are you doing here? I said, you actually own the place, don't you? And they say, actually, I do. I said, and what are you doing? I'm buying a car, you know. So if I would have known it's yours, then I would come sooner. So I said, what brought you here? I said, we had, because I said, you're not local, you're from the other town, you know. So, and he says, oh, well, we had such a great things about you that, you know, we had such a good reference that we came to buy the car here. And these are the little things, you know, what makes you tick. As I said, and that's why it's hard to pick if there's a favorite. I love them all, and I can go with the construction company and so forth, and with others as well. So, but these are all my babies, let's put it that way.
Yeah, nice. Yeah, there's no favorite children. Well done. Nice answer. What would you say is your superpower then? Given that
Oh,
you do so much and you do it so
my
well.
superpower is that I overwork everybody. It's also my strength and also my weakness. Because sometimes there's a problem between business partners on the projects, you know, and I've got a couple of stories around that as well. But that's my strength, that if I put my mind to something, you know, I don't care, you know, 24/7 I'll go. So some of my business partners, you know, they told me, I said, actually, you taught us to work. Then some of them said they figure out that there is, you know, hey, 8 o'clock, I'm putting the baby to sleep. Okay, ring me after you're done. I said,
Yeah.
what do you mean? It will be like 8:30. And what? Being business, you know, there's no working hours.
Yeah.
So they learned that it doesn't matter. They're getting messages after midnight from me, and they're getting messages before 5 a.m. from me. And they call me alien. I said, do you sleep at all? I said, sometimes.
Yeah. Yeah, nice. So your well, you said that your strength can also be your weakness there. Do you have something that you see that holds you back?
What holds me back? Probably there is something. I haven't entirely figured it out, because many times I feel myself that I should be already a lot more successful than I am. And I'm looking to that, okay, what is it holding me back? Okay, right now I again feel a little bit that because of one thing leading to another, you know, and opportunities came along and we jumped on them, you know, or I'm a little bit too wide, I would say. So that's why right now I stopped acquiring or setting up new businesses until all of these plates, all of these businesses, they're spinning on their own.
Yes.
I think that's also a holdback, that you can get distracted a little bit and not fully focused on the things. So, and one business until it's properly spins, then the second one, as I explained it earlier.
Yeah, brilliant. So obviously, you know that I love health, wellness, fitness, and so forth, and how that ties into success. I love getting my guests' views on. Well, I suppose, well, let's go with the high level first. What's your perspective on your health, wellness, looking after yourself in terms of what it enables you to do in terms of growing your success?
Okay, for me, health and fitness is a big rock, which means there's no compromises in that sense. And I'll do exercise every morning, and that's what I start with, even if it's only like 15, 20 minutes, you know. So that's how I start my day.
And what sort of
Then
stuff, yeah, what sort of exercise are you doing?
I'll do calisthenics.
Okay.
So just using your own body, you know, whatever exercise or yoga. And or I go to the gym, but that's normally from November to March, it's a little bit out because there's too much moving around than probably many times we overseas. So, but normally I go twice to the gym in the morning, or 3 times to the gym in the morning. So, and play 3 times soccer as well, indoor. So those are the things what I'm doing. But apart from that, I'm pretty good at fasting. So I've done water fasting, juice fasting. Now I'm pretty hooked up to this prolonged fasting. And in January, we did dry January, no alcohol, no coffee, which I don't drink much anyway. So it
Which is
wasn't
ironic.
sorry.
which is ironic given
it is. I've got a coffee shop and a bottle and cigar shop as well. So actually tonight we've got a tasting event. So, but I need to study for my school, so I'll just be there like as a mental support. So, and we've done 5-day fasting, 10-day detox, dry January. And it was pretty cool that we've been connected over 1,000 CEOs across the globe. And, you know, everybody was supporting each other through the messages and so forth. But to me, because I've got a set mindset, there was one of the question, you know, that I could fail in. I mean, it's just, for me, it was easy. But I've seen how some of the, you know, big CEOs been struggling actually to go through it, you know, and some of them actually gave up. And I believe that health, you know, you become what you eat, you know, so you really should be careful what you're eating or look into what you're eating, because I honestly say that we don't know what we're eating anymore.
No.
So, and I'm doing 7 or 8 years already intermittent fasting. So my first meal is basically only around lunchtime and then in the evening. So I have 2 meals and maybe a coffee in between. And I always learn about, you know, what can you do better. Actually, I'm off to a health and wellness longevity seminar with pretty big names in the US in 2 weeks. So because one of the things is that I believe one of it's the most important is just like you mentioned is your health. Because if you don't have health, you know, then what else are you doing everything You're for?
Dead. Yeah.
Exactly.
That's right. Great insights. Thank you. Thank you for sharing about that.
Yeah.
What would you say is, I suppose, next for you? Maybe it's looking at say you take AI, for instance, emerging technologies, you know, what's coming up? Is there something that you've got your eye on that says, okay, you mentioned before about I want to make sure all the plates are spinning by themselves first. But is there, because you've just got this growth and hunger mindset, is there something that's in the back of your mind that, yeah, this is where I want to go next?
Oh, there are a lot of things, you know. So I don't know if you've got that much time, but to cut the long story short, this year I'm focusing on actually restructuring the whole holding. Because as I said, you know, we acquired or established companies as opportunities came along. So it wasn't all pre-planned. So they need to get into a shape where I get some of the divisions merged into one and it will be centrally managed. So not all the companies have the same divisions, but, you know, it could be centrally managed. Then I need to put in a couple of so-called generals in place. So generals who build teams, who build the businesses. So this is for me to map out for this year, this whole structuring and positions for the people. And once this is done and I make the businesses more efficient and I'm really looking into AI, use AI on a daily basis. So I could say, look at it, how I could optimize, simplify, automate, whatever I can. So once that is done, then I can go to the next projects. Speaking of which, you know, there are a lot of projects within these businesses already. So I not necessarily need to acquire another one. So, and like even Warren Buffett says, the more things you say no to, you know, the more you can grow.
Yes. Yes. Just a few more questions. Obviously, you're so busy with doing things. So how do you manage that? I don't necessarily like the term work-life balance, but I'll say it because everybody knows what we're talking about. But how do you manage your energy, if you like, between, because obviously there's family, there's you time, as well as you're giving yourself to people every moment of the day. How do you personally manage that?
Okay, first, time management. The people ask me, how can you do so many things at once? So I used to say, you know, I work day and night, you know, I'm very good at time management, although I do fail many times. And I do my best to surround myself with successful, like-minded individuals. Mm. And I also use the term, when you're the smartest person in the room, then you've got to change rooms.
Yeah.
And me working a lot, you know, It is. I don't spend that much time with the family, but I have my rituals with them. You know, every morning, you know, I wake up with the kids, go and hug them, and so forth. Every night when I can, go even to the smaller one. He will be 11 years old, still read bedtime story, put him to bed. Or if my daughter, who will be 15, is doing something in her room, actually I go and I work in her room so I can talk to her in between, because she's, you know, a teenager and so forth. And I schedule quality time with the family as well. So when I'm with them, I'm on quality time. And it's becoming tougher that when they get older. So work-life balance, you know, there's always the fine line, but where is it? Just like you said, for everybody, there is somewhere else. And I'm traveling a lot, so I do feel a little bit that have this bad feeling, you know, that I should be spending more time with the family. But wherever I can, I take them with me,
Yeah, nice.
either just my wife or with the kids as well. So, and the more I want the businesses to succeed, you know, I need to put in the energy and need to put in the work. So, and I don't like to use the words, I'm doing it for you, because that's what my dad used to say. I'm doing it for you guys. But I said, for me, be home Sunday for lunch, you know. So, but he was very dedicated and loved what he was doing. And I'm the same in that sense, but you know, I'll put in like fun projects with the kids and with the wife. Then we sit down and discuss our best things, you know, of the day, best things of the week, or if we're on a trip, what was the best thing of the trip, you know. So some lot of sharing. And kids are always, you know, that they're not just listening to you, but they're really watching what you're doing. You
Yes.
know, so you need to be careful what you're doing and what you say as well. So, and I'm used to be a really hot-headed person, and I still got a short fuse, but I'm really learning, and it's tough for me to be really present, you know, and be mindful of how you act and what you say,
Yes.
because you need to be the best example for your kids.
Well said. What would be the advice that you would give somebody that's looking to start a business? You've obviously doing a diverse range. You've failed at some. What, given what you've learned from failures and your successes, what would be the advice that you would give to somebody that they don't exactly know what it is that they want to do, but they want to run their own business? How would you suggest they go about it?
Oh, look, if they don't know what they want, you know, that's a tough one. But I suggest to find something where you see that, you know, that I could be really passionate about this one, really passionate about this one. Then find someone who's already done it, copy paste it. And the best would be if you could persuade them to mentor you, because mentors and coaches, you know, that's a shortcut for
Yes.
you. So although I don't really do network marketing now, I'm involved in some, but I think it's a great way to start if someone doesn't know or you know what they want to do, because
Yeah,
they
that's
just
true.
a product. It comes with a business in a box, and it just comes
Yeah.
with a lot of systems and coaching and so forth. But I definitely would read Michael Gerber's book, The E-Myth, because it explains from A to Z, how to build from one person to become a larger successful business.
Nice. Okay. Yeah. Good advice. On advice, what is second last question? What is the greatest advice you've ever received and why?
Woo. I believe that you should get focused, you know, do one thing at a time. I believe that that's pretty up there. I think it would be one of the best what I've got. And then second is, the biggest room in the world is room for improvement. Constantly develop, learn, and you get better in whatever you do.
Yeah, fantastic. Well, Shulk, you've given so much great content here today. It's been really great getting to learn more about your diversity and just, you know, you mentioned about business in a box there. I think you've got success in a box and you just keep on rolling it out as the more plates keep spinning. So, yeah, it's just been a great insight into getting to know you. If people want to connect with you, I'll put the links below the podcast, but what's the best way for people to connect?
Probably LinkedIn.
Okay. All right, cool. Well, I'll put that connection below here. I want to thank you so much for today. I'm going to give you the final word and then we'll close out this session. So what would you like to tell our global listeners right now as we close out?
First of all, thank you very much for having me. I really hope that some of what we talked about will be useful for many of the listeners. And what would you want to advise, you know, or what I could give? Again, as I said, always work on yourself. Always learn, become better, you know, especially you need to be number of steps ahead of anybody else who you want to compete with.
Well said. Thank you once again. Stay hungry, everybody. We'll see you next time.
Thank you.